بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وبعد. In the last session, Ikhwan, we discussed the affair of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and that which occurred prior to him receiving revelation, and then something of the akhbar of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam after the revelation had been given to him, and that was prior to the revelation coming to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we mentioned, for some 6 months, as occurs in that authentic narration. For some 6 months, the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, he received true dreams, and that is for a 6 month period, and as some of Ahlul Ilm mentioned, from the first of Rajab to Ramadan. From the first of Rajab to Ramadan, he received true dreams, and that is that there was not a thing that he would dream except that it would manifest before him after his dream. And that is, as Ahlul Ilm mentioned, is clearly the wahi or the revelation or the first examples of the revelation. And thus the true dream then is amounted among the forms of wahi and the forms of revelation and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he used to receive. And since, Ikhwan, the topic of our discussion as it relates to the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that which he received from wahi, it is of benefit that we take a waqfa and look into the affair of wahi and revelation itself, and the forms or the manners in which the wahi come to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have, as we mentioned, Ikhwan, the narration of the initial visitation of Jibra'il to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the fact that the Messenger received the first verses of the Qur'an, Iqra', and the first 5 verses of Surah Alaq. And then the narration mentions that the revelation after that tataba, that is after Afwan, after the period of the fatra, that is that period wherein the revelation stopped after the initial visit, then the Messenger was visited again by Jibra'il, wherein he received the beginnings of Surah Al-Mudathir, and thereafter the wahi tataba', that is the wahi continued to come and he continued to receive it consecutively thereafter. And so there was a period of a break, and there are some narrations that mention that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yani that he was perturbed by the break. Na'am, there are some narrations that speak of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and how he was addressing his wife Khadija at the time, and yani that which he felt or how he felt during the period of the fatra. And there are a number of narrations, Ikhwan, that are authentic related to that. From those narrations, we have a narration that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he felt yani that something was wrong with him. He felt as though something was the matter with him, and that was what led him to go to Khadija radiallahu anha about why the revelation has stopped. And Khadija radiallahu anha responded by saying, perhaps he has decided not to visit you, or perhaps he has chosen not to come back to you. And so because of the fact that there was a fatra, yani they were uncertain as to what exactly had taken place. As far as the period of the fatra, then there is nothing that is sound that indicates how long that period was, how long the fatra was. But there in any case was a break between the initial revelation and then him receiving the ayat in Surah Al-Mudathir. But with the verses that were revealed in Surah Al-Mudathir, Allah Azza wa Jal commanded that he give da'wah. Ya ayyuhal mudathir, qum fa'andhir. O you wrapped up in your garment, rise and warn. And you remember when the Messenger of Allah, he saw him on the second occasion, Jibra'il, it occurs in some riwayat, that he heard a voice, and so he looked to his left, and he looked to his right, and he couldn't see where the voice was coming from. And the voice was calling him. And so he looked behind him. And he couldn't see where the voice was coming from. It was calling him. And then he looked above him. And he saw Jibreel. In the manner in which Allah Azza wa Jalla had created him. With 600 wings. On a throne. And on a chair. In between the heavens and the earth. Yani that he was elevated in the sky. And then the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he ran home. And again, he was afraid. And he ran home. And he said to Khadija radiallahu anha, Dastiruni, Dastiruni. Cover me up, cover me up. And the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was shaking. And then he received the verses in the beginnings of Surah Al-Mudathir. Ya ayyuha al-mudathir, qum fa'andir. And these initial verses of Surah Al-Mudathir had in them the command for him to warn. And with that, the Messenger was officially sent as a messenger. Since some of the scholars, they mentioned that with Iqra, he was yani nubbi'a. That is, he was informed of the fact that he was a prophet. Yani, that had in it those initial verses, and the initial visit of Jibreel had in it drawing the attention of the Messenger to the fact that he was a prophet. Then he was sent يعني, as a messenger to convey with Surah Al-Mudathir. With Surah Al-Mudathir. And therefore, Ikhwan, the affair then revolved around the issue of Al-Wahi. And so, just to take a waqfa then and look into the affair of Wahi itself. And how the wahi would come to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Since throughout the years of the messengership of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, he received wahi in a number of different ways. From those ways, ayyuha al-ikhwa, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam received, yarhamukallah, received the wahi. Since the wahi, as far as its linguistic meaning, it carries a number of meanings. But it has within it the affair of al-isra', yani something that is done speedily, or something that is, or something that occurs quickly, just as it carries the meaning of al-kitaba, or something that is written, or something that one receives and one is inspired with. That is likewise from the linguistic meanings of wahi. As it relates to the shar'i meaning though, then as the scholars mention, it is i'lanun min Allah. That it is an announcement, a proclamation, some information from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to a prophet from his prophets with the sharia, or with something from ilm that prophet receives from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As far as the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then the Messenger received wahi in a number of manners. From those ways, and the majority of the wahi that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would receive, and the majority of the prophets and the messengers in fact, is that they would receive the wahi in sirriya wa khifya. That is, it would be revealed to them in a manner that was unobserved by those who were around them. And the Messenger and the other prophets and messengers, they received wahi for the majority of the time in that manner. And thus wahi was given the title by some of Ahlul Ilm as Al-I'lan Al-Khafi. Al-I'lan Al-Khafi, which is the unseen or the hidden notification. Since the Messenger or the Prophet is the only one that received that information and received that notification, and thus it is something, Ikhwan, that they received, and they would receive it many times swiftly. And that leads us to the second definition, or the second form of wahi, second form of revelation, and that is that it is that which is revealed bi sur'atin shadida, or second characteristic then of wahi, It is that which the messenger receives with sur'a shadida, yani with, you know, extremely quickly. Though that is not the manner in which revelation is always revealed. It is though the ghalib, and it is the manner in which the revelation ordinarily comes to a prophet, and that is that he is given it quickly. That revelation, he receives it quickly. And so you'll find, masalan, that momentarily, the prophet, yani his state would change. The messenger, his state would change while he receives revelation. And in some instances, immediately, the revelation would be given to him, yani as or quicker than the blinking of an eye, as some of Ahlul Ilm mentioned. Al-Qistilani, he mentions in his explanation of Bukhari, he mentions وَتُلُقِّيَ مِنَ الْمَلَكِ, that is, it is something that is received from the angel. وَفَهِمَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَا أُلْقِيَ إِلَيْهِ, and the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, he would understand what was revealed to him. كَأَنَّهُ فِي لَحْذَةٍ وَاحِدَةٍ, and that would all occur in one single moment. بَلْ أَقْرَبْ مِنْ لَمْحِ الْبَصَرِ, it would be quicker, in fact, than the blinking of an eye. ولذلك سمي وحيا لأن الوحي في اللغة الإسراع. He said, and for that reason, wahi, revelation, is referred to as revelation because linguistically, from the meanings of wahi in the language, is al-isra, yani something that occurs swiftly, very quickly. And so the Messenger ﷺ would receive revelation immediately. In many occasions, when he would be asked the question, people would approach him. The Messenger ﷺ would respond immediately, and that response was wahi. Whether it is that which is given to him from the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla, from the ayat of the Quran, or that which he receives from the sunnah, for indeed the sunnah is likewise wahi. The sunnah is considered wahi. And so the Messenger ﷺ, if he would respond with a statement, and that statement was not the Quran, then that statement was still considered wahi. And that returns, of course, back to the statement of the Messenger, statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ, that indeed he does not speak from hawa, he does not speak from desires, indeed it is nothing but revelation sent down. And thus that which the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam would utter from his statements, and that which he received from his silent approvals, or that which has been conveyed to us from his silent approvals, and from his actions, return back to that which he receives from Allah Azza wa Jal. And so he mentioned that it would occur quicker than the blinking of an eye. وَالْحَاصِلْ أَنَّهُ سُمِيَ وَحْيًا لِمَا يَتَّصِفُ بِهِ غَالِبًا مِنَ الْخَفَاءِ وَالسُّرْعَةِ. And he mentioned, so what we conclude then is that wahi is referred to as wahi because of that which is present within it. Number one, from khifya, from it being something that is unseen, hidden. And number two, because of its swiftness, the rapid nature in which it would be given to a prophet from the prophets. And so the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam would receive a number of ayat, and they would be given to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a moment. And that then, ikhwan, is from the natures of the wahi. Al-Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim rahimahullahu ta'ala, he speaks around the affair and around the topic of the wahi, and describes the various categories of wahi as occurs in Zad al-Ma'ad. He mentions from the anwa' of wahi that first and foremost, كَمَرَ اللَّهُ لَهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمْ مِنْ مَرَاتِبِ الْوَحِي مَرَاتِبٌ عَدِيدَةٌ, that indeed Allah Azza wa Jal gave to him, yani gave to the Messenger from the categories of wahi, a number of categories. He mentions أَحَدُهَا الرُّؤْيَ الصَّادِقَةِ, the first of them, the true dream. He said, وَكَانَ مَبْدَأُ وَحْيِهِ وَكَانَ لَا يَرَى رُؤْيًا إِلَّا جَاءَتْ مِثْلُ فَلَقِ الصُّبْحِ. He said that indeed the first of them is the true dream. And that was the beginning of revelation. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not see a ru'ya, did not see a dream, except that it came like the breaking of the dawn. Yani it was something that the Messenger would receive in a dream, and it would become manifest before him. He would see it in real life. Secondly, he mentions, الثانية, ما كان يلقيه الملك في روعه وقلبه من غير أن يراه. The second type of revelation is that which the angel would instill in his heart and within the chest of the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yani, and inspire him with that without him even seeing the angel, without him even seeing Jibra'il. That Allah Azza wa Jal commissioned him with conveying the wahi, and so he would convey it to the messenger on some occasions without the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam even seeing him. And that no doubt is established as occurs in a hadith when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as Ibn al-Qayyim he mentions here, كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم إن روح القدس نفث في روعي أنه لم تمت أو لم تموت نفس حتى تستكمل رزقها. He said that indeed the angel, or indeed the Ruh al-Qudus, the Holy Ruh, the Holy Spirit, يعني a mention here, or a reference here to Jibra'il, he inspired me, or he blew into me, يعني, and inspired me with, يعني, that is, from wahi and revelation, that no soul will die until his rizq is complete, until his sustenance is complete. And that is that each and every one of us, ikhwan, we have sustenance. Each and every one of us have an allotted amount of sustenance that we receive from food, drink and air. And none of us shall pass away until we receive everything from that. And that, ikhwan, is, as the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he mentioned, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَأَجْمِلُوا فِي الطَّلَبِ. That therefore you should fear Allah and be beautiful in your manner of seeking rizq, seeking sustenance. That is because of the fact that the sustenance is written and it is set. And none of us will pass away until that sustenance, يعني, finishes. And if that is understood, and if we truly believe that, then why pursue that sustenance in a manner that is haram? But the point here in the issue, ikhwan, is that the Prophet ﷺ, he said that the Ruh al-Qudus, يعني Jibra'il, put into my chest and put into my soul the fact that none of you shall die until he receives all of his rizq. Now, the ruh is like the spirit of an individual, like the soul of an individual. Now, the soul of an individual that he put it inside of me, and so it is in that sense resemblant to inspiration, but it is stronger than inspiration. It is stronger than inspiration. Something that is instilled within the heart of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So the ruh is like the heart or the soul of an individual. And so the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would receive revelation on occasion by the Messenger, that is Jibra'il, instilling that within the Messenger himself, alayhi salatu wasalam. And of course, ikhwan, that is something that Allah Azza wa Jalla commissioned him with and permitted him to do. And so it is not said, how can Jibra'il, or how could that be done? Allah Azza wa Jalla sent him and commissioned him and gave him the ability to do so. And that is the job and the mission of Jibra'il. Now, so that is the second type of wahi, and that is that it is placed within him. Just as Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned, مَا كَانَ يُلْقِيهِ الْمَلَكِ في روعه وقلبه. يعني the ruh here a reference to the heart of that individual and يعني within him. نعم. Thirdly, he mentioned الثالثة أنه صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يتمثل له الملك رجلا فيخاطبه حتى يعي ما يقول. The third type of revelation is that the angel would come to him in the form of a man, and he would speak to him until the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam understood what it is he was saying. And so Jibra'il would appear to him on occasions in the form of a man, and in the majority of the time he would come in the form of Dihya ibn Khalifa al-Kalbi. Dihya ibn Khalifa al-Kalbi was one of the companions. And he was a beautiful, يعني, handsome man. And so Allah Azza wa Jal chose to send Jibra'il in the form of Dihya, which of course, ikhwan, was fadl kabir lid-Dihya, that Jibra'il should come in the form of Dihya. because he was a handsome man. Nah. And so he would appear in the form, ikhwan of a man. On occasions he would appear in the form of an A'rabi, of a Bedouin, but of a yani handsome, well-kept Bedouin. And that would approach the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you know the hadith, shadidu, bayad al-thiyab, shadidu sawad al-sha'ar, yani jameel, even though he was unknown, and even though he was obscure in terms of who he was to the companions, ridwanullahi alayhim. So sometimes he would come in the form of a man, and Ibn al-Qayyim mentions, وَفِي هَذِهِ الْمَرْتَبَى كَانَ يَرَاهُ السَّحَابَ أَحْيَانًا. He said, so when this occurred, then they would be, or they would see him sometimes. That is, the companions, they would see him. And there is a hadith in that regard. I mean, I didn't make note of it, but there is a hadith wherein the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was visited by Jibra'il, and then he went back to his companion and said, do you know who was with me? And so he said, Dihya. He said, no, indeed it was Jibreel who had come to visit me. Now, the fourth of the manners is that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana ya'tihi fi mithli silsilat al-jaras. Sometimes a revelation, fourthly, would come to him like the ringing of a bell. And as occurs in the hadith in Bukhari, the first hadith in Bukhari, or the second hadith in Bukhari, he mentions, وَكَانَ أَشَدُّهُ عَلَيْهِ, that it was the most difficult form of wahi upon him. And that is that he would hear a sound that was like the ringing of a bell, but it was, in some narrations, and in the same hadith, he mentioned, or like a chain being dragged over a smooth boulder. Like a chain being pulled across a smooth boulder. So he would hear a sound, and that sound would be difficult upon the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then it would pass over, and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam would understand what had been revealed to him. And so that severe sound, he would hear it, it would be difficult for him, and the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, hearing that sound, he would understand what had come to him. And when that would occur, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam would sweat, and he would perspire, and it was something that was heavy upon the Messenger. Some of the narrations indicate, Ibn al-Qayyim, he mentions that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on occasions would be upon a riding beast, and the riding and the wahi, the revelation, would come to him, and the riding beast would fall to his knees. Riding beast would fall to its knees. Similarly, on an occasion, the Messenger ﷺ was sitting with one of his companions, and they were sitting, yani fakhid to fakhid. That is, they were sitting knee and thigh to knee. Yani his knee was upon his knee, and the companion felt as though his thigh and his knee was going to break from the weight and from the heavy nature of the wahi. And that, without doubt, ikhwan, is. When it is said that the wahi and that the Qur'an is heavy, and that which we read within it is heavy, that is literally the case. And Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned that in the Qur'an, إِنَّا سَنُلْقِي عَلَيْكَ قَوْلًا ثَقِيلًا, that indeed we shall send to you or reveal upon you a heavy word. And that was literally the case. As we mentioned, animals would fall to their knees, that the Prophet ﷺ, if he was upon them, and from the companions, as occurred on an occasion with Zayd ibn Thabit, that his knee was upon his knee, yani the knee of the Messenger was upon his knee, and he felt the weight of the revelation as though his knee was going to break. Naam. And so that is the manner in which, and as Aisha radiallahu anha mentioned, when it would occur to him in that manner, it would occur on sometimes on a day, shadidatul bard. يعني شديد شديد البرد يعني on a very cold day, but the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم would sweat, يعني so it was difficult upon the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم when the wahi would come in that manner. The fifth manner he mentions, أن يرى الملك في صورته التي خلق عليها فيوحي إليه ما شاء الله أن يوحيه. وهذا وقع له مرتين. He he said that the fifth manner in which the revelation would come is that the angel would appear to the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the manner in which he was created. In the manner in which he was created. And that occurred with the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam twice, on two separate occasions. That the messenger sallallahu would see Jibreel in the manner in which he was created. And that, of course, was heavy upon the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Azza wa Jal allowed him to see that which was in the unseen ordinarily, allowed him to see from the most magnificent of the angels, the angel Jibreel, allowed him with his human eyes to see the angel Jibreel. And so, while he was beautiful, it was still something that was heavy upon the messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. The sixth manna, as-sadisa, ma awhahu Allahu ilayh, wa huwa fawq as-samawat, laylatul mi'raj. That which the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received while he was above the seven heavens on the night of Mi'raj. And that is that the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received and was addressed by Allah Azza wa Jal directly on the night of Mi'raj. And he received revelation from the legislation of the salawat, mathalan. He received that on the night of Mi'raj when he passed the Sidratul Muntaha. Sidratul Muntaha was that tree, or is referred to as the low tree of the boundary. And that is, after the seven heavens, there is a boundary that not even Jibreel can traverse past. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given the permission to pass the low tree of the boundary. And Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed to him the five daily salawat that were initially 50 when he received the revelation at that time. He revealed to him 50 salawat, and the Prophet ﷺ continued to go back between Musa in the sixth heaven and Allah Azza wa Jal, asking for takhfif, asking that it be lightened. But the point is, Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, he mentions that Allah Azza wa Jal revealed to the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam at a place where not even Jibreel could pass, which indicates then that Jibreel was not the wasita. Jibreel was not the mediator in this instance between the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and him receiving revelation from Allah Azza wa Jal. And so that which Allah Azza wa Jal revealed to him, Al-Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, it is as though he makes a difference between some of that which he received when he was past the low tree of the boundary and other elements of what he received when he was past the low tree of the boundary. And as we mentioned, Ahl al-Ilm Ikhwan mentioned the great nature and station of the wahi, afwan and of salah, in that the messenger alayhi salatu wasalam received it, Ikhwan, not on earth, not while he was in the dunya, and not even while he was in the heavens, but when he was at a place where not even Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam could pass. And it is as though, as we mentioned, Al-Imam Ibn al-Qayyim makes a difference between that and the following category, in that he mentions the sabi'ah, kalamullahi lahu minhu wa ilayhi bila wasitat malak. That is the seventh form of wahi, that is that Allah Azza wa Jal addressed the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directly, spoke to him directly without the medium of the angel. Just as Allah Azza wa Jal, kama kallama Allahu ta'ala Musa ibn Imran, just as he spoke to Musa ibn Imran directly, the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is likewise the kaleem of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's likewise, from his characteristics, is that he is from the few of the prophets and the messengers that were spoken to directly by Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal addressed him without the wasita and without the medium of the angel Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam, just as he spoke to Musa. He said, وَكَلَّمَ أَيْضًا نَبِيُّنَا صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ لَيْلَةُ الْمِعْرَاجِ. He spoke to him on the night of Al-Mi'raj. And then he later continues, وَقَدْ زَادَ بَعْضُهُمْ مَرْتَبَةٌ ثَامِنَةٌ وَهِيَ تَكْلِيمُ اللَّهِ لَهُ كَفَاحًا. He mentioned that some of Ahl-i-Ilm mentioned an eighth category, and that is that Allah Azza wa Jal addressed him kafahan. That is, that Allah allowed him to see him and addressed him directly. As far as that which occurred, ikhwan, in point 7, then it is that Allah Azza wa Jal addressed the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam behind the veil. But those who hold this 8th point or this 8th category, then they hold that Allah Azza wa Jal spoke to him kafahan, that is, يعني, directly without a veil between the two of them. And that is a position that Imam Ibn al-Qayyim discusses. But of course, ikhwan, what is most correct is that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, with his own admission, did not see Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. He did not see Allah while he was awake or with the eyes of his head. As far as him seeing Allah Azza wa Jal with his heart, then na'am, that is something that is established, and the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam affirms that. Did he see Allah Azza wa Jal with his own eyes? Then what is most correct is that he did not see Allah Azza wa Jal with his eyes. When he was asked concerning that, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he responded by saying, Nurun anna arahu. There was light, how then could I see him? Light, how could I see him? And so that then, ikhwan, is that which relates to the wahi itself, the revelation itself, and how the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam received the revelation. Bearing in mind, ikhwan, that the Messenger Alayhi Salatu Wasalam was the last of any human being to receive wahi. He was the last of some 315 messengers, as occurs in an authentic narration, that the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was tamamu 315 rasula, that he was the completion of 315 messengers, just as his ummah was the completion of 70 umam. His ummah was the completion of 70 different nations. This ummah, the ummah of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is the completion of 70 nations, and they are, yani this ummah, khayruha wa akramuha ala Allah. They are the best of them with Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, so the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, when he received that revelation, ayyuhal ikhwa, what followed from that, of course, is that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, he began to call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he began to give da'wah ila Allah. There was a period, ikhwan, of what is known as a da'wah sirriya. A da'wah sirriya was that the Messenger initially gave da'wah in secret. What is most correct concerning this period is, as we oftentimes read, ikhwan, in many of the books of Sirah, you will come across, it will mention that the period of the da'wah sirriya was 3 years. There is nothing authentic that establishes that it was a period of 3 years. So that which is mentioned is not authentic. And so, though it is mentioned in many of the books of Sirah, the period of sirriya is not established, and how long that period was is not established. But in any case, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave da'wah within that period of sirriya. And within that period, Allah Azza wa Jal commanded him, فَاسْدَعْ بِمَا تُؤْمَرْ, as occurs in Surah Al-Hijr. And what should be known, ikhwan, is that some of the surah of the Qur'an, there are verses, ikhwan, within those surah, that though they occurred to the Messenger, and though he received them in Mecca, while he was in Mecca, the surah in its totality is considered a Madani surah. It is considered a Madani surah. And we mentioned, ikhwan, the criteria in determining which surah Makki and Madani is mother. Huh? Yani, Aywa? What about the Hijrah? Huh? Aywa? Ahsan. Anything that was revealed before the Hijrah, then it is considered Makki. And any surah that was revealed after the Hijrah is considered Madani. Any surah that was revealed after the Hijrah is considered Madani. But we have some ayat, some verses that were revealed, and those verses are though the surah itself may be considered Makki, the ayah in and of itself is considered an ayah that is madani. The ayah is an ayah that is madani. And without doubt, Ikhwan, for us to discuss the suwar that are Makki and Madani would yatil and would be a lengthy discussion. But this ayah, in any case, is considered from the first of the verses that came to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam around the affair of the wahi. Yani this ayah, Ikhwan, in Surah Al-Hijr. This ayah in Surah Al-Hijr. Yani that is. That Allah Azza wa Jal revealed فَاصْدَعْ بِمَا تُؤْمَرْ that you should convey what you have been commanded. And this فَاصْدَعْ الصَّدْعْ بِالْحَقْ is to make it manifest. يعني to go out and make it manifest. And Ahlul Ilm mentioned that is when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was commanded with making the affair plain and clear and manifest that he was calling to Allah Azza wa Jal. But the issue though is, what was the period between the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam giving da'wah in private and him being commanded فَاسْتَعْ بِمَا تُؤْمَرْ, him being commanded manifest and proclaim what you have been commanded. As we mentioned in many of the books of Seer, you'll find the mention of 3 years, but that is not established, Ikhwan, in relation to this period. And so from the awa'il and from the first of those who the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave da'wah to, we have, of course, as we've mentioned previously, his wife Khadija radiallahu anha. She was the first, without doubt, of the believers. The first to believe in the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ikhwan, was his wife Khadija. And so, without doubt, that indicates a station of the woman within Islam. It is established that the first individual on the face of the earth to believe in the Messenger and to become a Muslim was a woman, Khadija radiallahu anha. And she was the first then to accept the call to Allah Azza wa Jal, and was the first from among freed people. As far as from among the men, then the first of them was Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr, from among the men, he was the first to accept the da'wah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he is considered by many as the first da'i ila Allah after the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Since Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was the first to busy himself in giving da'wah and calling to that which the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam called him to, and at the hands of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, a number of individuals embraced Islam. From them, Uthman ibn Affan, Dhun-Nurayn. Uthman ibn Affan was the product of the da'wah of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, radiallahu anhu. He gave him da'wah, and he responded, and thus Uthman was from the earliest of those who embraced, and from the earliest of those who entered Islam. Likewise, Zubayr ibn Awam was from the earliest, and from the first of those who embraced Islam, and from those who Abu Bakr as-Siddiq gave da'wah to. Similarly, Safiya bint Abdul Muttalib, who was the paternal aunt of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Safiya, and Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, similarly Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, were from the earliest of the companions. And Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas was the maternal aunt, maternal uncle rather, of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, was the maternal uncle of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Similarly, from the first of those who embraced, Talha ibn Ubaidillah was from the first of the Muslimun and first of those who entered into Islam. As far as from the young ones and from the youth, then Ali ibn Abi Talib was the first of the youth to embrace. And it is said that it is oftentimes mentioned that he was 8. What is most correct was that he was 9 years old when Ali radiallahu anhu embraced, and the Messenger sallam kept him close. And there is a narration that mentioned that when he embraced the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, he held him and he embraced him and he hugged Ali ibn Abi Talib. From the first of those who embraced from the Mawali and from the slaves was Zayd ibn Haritha. And Zayd ibn Haritha was actually the slave of Khadija radiallahu anha, and Khadija gave him to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a gift when they got married. Khadija gave the Messenger alayhi wa sallam Zayd, and Zayd was the first of those who embraced from the Mawali, from those who were slaves. Of course, Ikhwan, from the earliest of them, Bilal ibn Abi Rabah, radiallahu anhu, who was again from the earliest of the slaves to embrace. And of course, Ikhwan, he was freed by Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, radiallahu anhu. Similarly, after that initial group embraced Islam, there was a second group and a second wave, if you like, of individuals who entered Islam after the initial group of believers, the first core of believers. From them, we had Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, and you'll bear in mind, Ikhwan, that the bulk of these are men. Al-Ashar al-Mubashareen, the 10 who were given the glad tidings of Jannah. So from the earliest of them, similarly, was Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, likewise Sa'id ibn Zayd, from the Ashara al-Mubashareen. Similarly, Khabbab ibn al-Arat, from the earliest of the believers, and Khabbab, Ikhwan, was from the companions who were tortured and tormented because of his iman. And it was him who approached the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked him to make dua for us. Make dua for us. Ala tad'u lana, ala tastansiru lana. Will you not make dua for us, O Messenger of Allah? Will you not seek aid for us? And we'll look at the manners in which they were tormented and punished and persecuted because of their belief in la ilaha illallah. Similarly, Ikhwan Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu was from the earliest of the believers. And from the young women, we had Asma and Aisha radiallahu anhuma. As far as Asma and Aisha, then Aisha radiallahu anha, she was from, of course, the young children. She was young when she entered into Islam, and her sister was older than her, which is oftentimes, Ikhwan, not known. Asma is actually the older sister of Aisha, not the younger sister. Asma was the older sister of Aisha, radiallahu anha. And Asma, Ikhwan, was during, or at that time, at the time of her embracing, she was married to Zubair ibn Awam. She was married to Zubair ibn Awam. Now, thereon after them, Ikhwan, from the notables of Quraysh, a number of notable, noble individuals from the tribe of Quraysh entered. Since many of those who had embraced up until that time, many of them were not necessarily from the notables. Without doubt, they were from the notables. Abu Bakr, Safiya, Uthman, these were from the notables of Quraysh. But many of the believers, Ikhwan, who had entered, many of them were not well-to-do, many of them were slaves, many of them were, if you like, Ikhwan, individuals who had migrated to Mecca and were not originally from the tribes of Mecca. But from the notables, Ikhwan, we had the likes of Ja'far ibn Abi Talib. Of course, Ikhwan, the Sada and the leaders of Quraysh, without any doubt, were the Adbana and were the sons of Abdul Muttalib. And there is no doubt, Abdul Muttalib was the head of Mecca and the head of Quraysh during his time. And his sons were considered the heads, Ikhwan, of the people of Mecca at that time. And so Ja'far, who was a noble individual from the tribe of Quraysh, a noble, he was young, relatively young at the time, a noble youth from the men of Quraysh, he embraced Islam with his wife Asma bint Umays. Asma bint Umays was the wife of Ja'far, and they both embraced Ikhwan together. Likewise, from them, Al-Arkam ibn Abi Al-Arkam. And it was in the house of Al-Arkam that they would have meetings, and that the Messenger of Allah would teach them, and that the revelation would be يعني, or that they would witness the revelation of the Quran, and that they would receive instruction from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so the initial place that they would gather was Darul Arqam. Darul Arqam, يعني the house of Al-Arqam ibn Abi Al-Arqam. نعم. Similarly, from the earliest of those who embraced Uthman ibn Mad'un. Uthman ibn Mad'un was again, ikhwan, from the noble companions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it was said that Uthman was killed, and from the statements that was made concerning Uthman ibn Mad'un is the attribution of irja to him, wal-iyadu billah, that Uthman ibn Mad'un was the first of the murji'ah, which was has been the claim of Al-Hajuri, who claims that Uthman ibn Mad'un يعني, was the first of the murji'ah. And that, without doubt, ikhwan, batil. Na'am. Similarly, Ammar bin Yasir and his mother, Ammar bin Yasir and his father, from the first ikhwan of the early believers, and Suhaib al-Rumi, radiallahu anhum ajma'een. These were some of the earliest of the companions during this initial period of the da'wah as-sirriya. And it was, of course, within that time that the persecution, ikhwan, had not at this stage begun. During that time, the da'wah was spreading, Quraysh were hearing whispers, but there was nothing from persecution that had begun yet at this stage. Bilal, ikhwan, from the earliest stage, and from that time, he was made the one who was in charge of the nafaqat and of the wealth of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that continued up until the time that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. Up until the time that the Messenger alayhi wasallam passed away, then Bilal was in charge of the nafaqat. But during this period, ikhwan, there were numerous surah from the Quran that were revealed, and the companions were in relative peace. Those who had embraced, they had not yet received from the persecution of Quraysh and from the harm of Quraysh. What we're going to see in that which is to come, after the pronouncement, ikhwan, of the da'wah, and after they made it manifest, then, ikhwan, there came to them from the trials and the tribulation and from the fitan of the people of Quraysh, that which we will see in the weeks to come bi-idhnillah. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.